mercy, so yeah. Got the mercy, so yeah. Good morning, CKLM listeners. It is the 16th of February, 2010. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, here for CKLN Rude Awakening on CKLN 88.1 FM. CKLN.fm online and Rogers Cable Box 947. The shows are also put up at radioforall.net and archive.org. You can find the links every day by around 8 in the morning at blackkrishna.blogspot.com. That's blackkrishna.blogspot.com. Do apologize, folks. Here at CKLN Radio, it's happened a couple of times, but it's certainly happening today. But I cannot play the music or news clips that I want to out of my computer. They simply will not come through this mixing board. Near as I can tell, it was dead air this morning before I got here. And my internet isn't working, my magical internet, so I cannot record the show streaming. I'm hoping to pull it off the logger later, and I cannot find my beloved internets online. I can't Google my beloved articles. I can't check my beloved Infowars.com, NaturalNews.com, TrendsResearch.com, the InternationalForecaster.com, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, PressForTruth.ca, ConspiracyCulture.com, TheFreedomLink.org, and so on. I simply cannot access those, and it's very important out there to remember that there are some rumblings going on right now for net censorship. Now, for a couple of years, there's been published mainstream media reports about how the government needs to have an active presence online, one, to fight cyber warfare, two, to fight quote-unquote disinformation that's put out there by people, bloggers who are critical of the war, and so on. So the Pentagon has groups like CENTCOM that go out there and send trolls out there on the internet. As I said in the song Battle for the Ages off the Obamacide album, which was released in April of last year, I was on to Obama about a year before that, and had made some rumblings and even performed a song in the summer, Barack Oblabla, here at the Ryan the Ram pub at an open mic night, kind of freestyled it while I did the choruses that were originally part of the written song. And people were curious. You know, if you put your heart and soul into breaking something down, even if it's not popular opinion, you put your heart and soul into it, people just might wonder why. And so the bottom line on the cybersecurity thing and on the song from the Obamacide album, The Battle for the Ages, is there's a lyric on there that says, "Who's got free time to waste on stuff not their taste, not fluff, but rather getting in your face?" So basically, who's got the time to spend hours and hours on YouTube videos they don't like making negative comments, or websites they don't like making negative comments? I mean, who really has the time to do that? Get that money, man, selling out is hot, so the Pentagon and CENTCOM probably pay a lot. And near as we can tell, there are groups out there on the internet, some of them can be traced back to government offices and government agencies and so on, that are there to manipulate us and to basically slow down people like myself that are trying to fight the New World Order. Mr. Alan Watt at CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com has complained about ExploreNet, his satellite internet service, slowing down his connection. I found a little bit of pipe cleaning going on when I've been online, but you never know. You never know. Again, the whole world being run by the New World Order and their intelligence agencies, essentially the central banking families of the world, the families that own central banks, sort of the colonial powers or their descendants, their modern descendants, who control central banks and the issuance of currency, and through that process, who basically buy governments, own corporations, and control the world by controlling the purse strings, by controlling the creation and issuance of money itself. Those guys only get away with this stuff by doing things in ways that are hard to figure out. So I know not what's happening in general, but all you have to do is put two and two together. You kind of see what they're trying to do. Cass Sunstein, President Obama's White House Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs czar, has basically said that he wants to restrict the internet, restrict free speech, and of course crack down on conspiracy theories, most specifically because he says those are damaging to government credibility. So that's Obama's basically information czar. Next up comes Obama's science czar, John P. Holdren, the official science advisor to the White House. And what happened here? And I hope that thing will play straight through. And John Holdren wrote a book called Science and Eco-Science, or Eco-Science, back in the 70s, an 1,100-page, basically eugenics manual with Paul and Mary Ehrlich, two people who were responsible for the population bomb theory in the 70s that said that basically recycling Malthus from the 300 years ago, which was discredited, which said that populations grow arithmetically, and food grows arithmetically, and populations grow exponentially. So food would grow at a rate of, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bananas, whereas people would grow at a rate of 1, 2, 4, 8, 16 people. And because of that process, people would outstrip the food supply, and there'd be mass starvation as a result of that. Well, not true. It never really happened, but they still do sell us those ideas, the people at the top, because they are into eugenics, the basically race science and Darwinism and survival of the fittest. And the people in charge of the world right now, who've hidden it from most of the world and whose families have been in charge for some time, really believe by their own words and their own deeds that they are superior and that they do need to cull off the rest of the population. So back to the internet and the censorship of the internet and sort of people getting restricted from using the internet here on in select ways, where we've accepted that the internet can be buggy at times. We've accepted that wireless connections can be sketchy at times. And so, you know, if it's harder for us to access our beloved internets, it's also going to prepare us for Internet 2, which is supposedly coming soon. Basically, an internet that you'll need your own personal login for, that would be monetized, so they might charge you for every email you send or every website you look at and so on. Those are all plans that have been in the works for a while now. Just go to internet2.edu, I believe, or Google Internet 2, where you can see the consortium of 200 universities and corporations who've been working together to build a newer, faster, better internet, according to what they say. Although you know, they've been hustling us with respect to the internet so far, and its supposed freedom. So what's happening now? Why is all this going on? What is the issue here? Well, in a nutshell, here in 2010 on February 16th, we are in the latter stages of a process of herding the entire world into a world government system. The world government system has been planned for 50, 60, 70, 100 years, certainly since the first version of the United Nations, the League of Nations, which was created in 1913, it was created after the First World War in 1918, I believe. And then too many countries around the world were like, wait a minute, I'm not going to sign a deal with an international body that has permanent control over our nation or permanent influence over our nation. To hell with that. So a lot of countries still want to protect their sovereignty and say, no, we don't want to be part of this. We know who controls this. It's the British and the Americans and the countries of power and money. And if we sign a permanent agreement that says, you know, their control of this body will allow this body to control us and by extension them to control us, then we're kind of screwed going forward. So the League of Nations didn't work. After that, the United Nations was created after World War II, after a bigger war was needed, and the United Nations was supposed to stop all wars back in 1947 or so when it was created. But instead, over 200 million people were killed by wars in the 20th century, and now here in the 21st century, war is becoming normal. It's warmal, where people would rather not talk about it than deal with it, and that is part of the Communist Canada and global communist scientific indoctrination with respect to what we say and how we habitually neurolinguistically program ourselves into being unable to think of ways to resist the New World Order plans for world government, depopulation, enslavement, basically creating a new feudal system like they have in China, which is also another reason why China and China's economy and China's business boom is being celebrated so much. You notice they talk about China's economy so strong, China's doing great things, China's this, China's that. This is all being endorsed with the idea of the sort of Walmart slave labor camps and other manufacturing slave labor camps that the New World Order put there. And yes, there is a reason why everything is made in China. It's not because the corporations around the world are working independently and are deciding to compete with each other to see who can get the best manufacturing quality or the best manufacturing costs around the world. It's not because they're competing with each other. It's not because some of them went to Indonesia, some of them went to the Philippines, some of them went to China, some of them went to other countries in Latin America and said, hey, you know, we want to know if you'll cut us a better deal. They didn't do that because they weren't necessarily allowed to. There's obviously manufacturing going on in other parts of the world. But the reason that the bulk of manufacturing was shifted over to China was due to government regulations in the 1990s, particularly under President Bill Clinton, where he signed the GATT Treaty, the Global Agreement on Trade and Tariffs, and he gave the United Nations, for the U.S., he gave them most favored nation trading status. Now, the idea was always to open up trade with China and open up dialogue with China, and hopefully that process would lead to human rights and democracy. What's happening instead is opening up that process and that trade has only allowed China to take a substantial amount of manufacturing jobs from around the world and to export their police state. Now, there's nothing against the Chinese people, nothing against any people. Governments worldwide are corrupt, and they're all working together for the New World Order central banking cabal. So so keep in mind that this has nothing to do with the sort of phony nationalism that's promoted that makes you cheer for your country without realizing what your country is up to most of the time. And that brings us to the Olympics here. Silver by a sliver. Canadian Mike Robertson left and Seth Westcott of the United States raced neck and neck yesterday during the men's snowboard cross final at the Winter Olympics. Westcott edged Robertson by Escott wedged Robertson for the gold medal. This is on the cover of the Metro. A couple of snowboarders going crazy. Really, really cool looking shot here. And let's just see how they're selling us our national pride. The rough and tumble roller coaster of snowboard cross gave Canada its second silver medal yesterday as Michael Robertson missed out on gold by the nose of his American rivals board. The 24-year-old boarder from Canmore, Alberta, led for much of the race, only to be overtaken in the final moments by the U.S. competitor Seth Westcott, who also claimed the top prize at the Winter Olympic Games in Turin, Italy in 2006. Quote, it was kind of bittersweet, Robertson said after the race. Quote, obviously I want to win for sure, but I'm happy to be second. It's amazing. Canadian men had a less than stellar showing in the long-delayed men's downhill, where Eric Guy of Mont-Tremblant, Quebec, was the top Canuck in fifth place in 1 hour, 54 minutes, and 64 seconds, or 1 minute, 54 seconds, and 0.64 seconds. 64 hundredths of a second. Manuel Osborne Paradis of Invermere, BC, who is seen as the host nation's top medal threat in the marquee event on the alpine skiing schedule, finished 17th, well back of gold medalist Didier Defago of Switzerland. Canadian hockey fans were celebrating and good news yesterday after Anaheim Ducks center Ryan Getzlaf, who sprained his ankle last week, was given the green light to play for Team Canada. And that is what we're cheering for today, ladies and gentlemen, here on Rude Awakening on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM, Rogers Cable Box 947. You are listening to BK, your host, Black Krishna, over a little CD I found in here. Basically can't play any music or clips through the board today. Can't hear myself in the headphones and can't access the internets. So this is strange. But, hey, it happens. And what I'll do is I'll break down the Metro and I will try and reverse engineer some of the things that are in there to help give people a jump on the day when it comes to deconstructing and analyzing this information. Why can I do that? Why can any of us do that? Because if you've been here long enough, you might have figured a couple of things out. And if you continue to figure some things out, then you know, they might be worth sharing. You know, double check a few things. But at this point in my investigations, after years of sort of being right about things like the war on terror, climate change, the recession, the Obama deception, you know, and being right and saying things about these things, questioning these various ideas promoted in our culture well before it was normal to, you sort of get a pattern that, you know what, some of your analysis might be worth sharing. And if you're right, if I'm only right half the time, if people who look into this stuff are only right half the time, anybody who finally guesses that should have a responsibility to look into the other half for themselves and their families and friends and futures. Now, why is sports promoted? Why is the Olympics being promoted so much? In the 20th century, the New World Order wanted to create nationalism, where basically we have a lot of national pride in our countries, because then we would support those countries and the growth of governments in those countries, and above everything else. And we would support those countries during war, we wouldn't question them, and that's why they engineered a lot of patriotism and national pride. So nationalism was essentially the myth of the 20th century, according to one globalist who also said terrorism will be the myth of the 21st century, and that will be one of the weapons used to bind us together. So now our faith in our nations is switching to our faith in our nations being at permanent war with Al-Qaeda, the shadowy Al-Qaeda threat that's been out there for several years now, but particularly since 9/11/2001, when, of course, the 9/11 attacks happened, which, for those of you out there who don't know, they were an inside job. Look up Building 7. Look up false flag terrorism. Watch the excellent film Terror Storm by Alex Jones to give you an idea of a history of false flag terrorism and government-sponsored terrorism. Here on the cover of the Metro, top left-hand corner, it also says, did they also find Junior Mintz? It took 5 long months for a Czech woman to discover the reason for her pain. Doctors had left a foot-long medical tool inside her abdomen. This month, doctors at a clinic in the southwestern town of Ivanich discovered their colleagues had forgotten to remove a spatula-like surgical instrument from the woman following gynecological surgery in September. Clinic head Yaramir Hrubs blamed, quote, a series of individual failures and said 4 employees had been punished, courtesy of the Associated Press. And it starts off with the headline, did they also find Junior Mintz? Why did they use that headline? A couple years ago, episode of a sitcom, a very popular TV show called Seinfeld, where one of the characters, Kramer, was watching an operating room table from above and accidentally basically spilled a Junior Mint from up there, which landed inside a patient. So yeah, a bit of humor about this. Oopsie, you know, they left a foot-long medical tool inside a woman. The collateral damage allowed in medicine is absolutely ridiculous. So half the time, if you go in there and you take one drug and it causes, or one pill, you're on one prescription for one pill, and then it causes side effects, they give you another pill. And if that causes side effects, they give you another pill. And that causes side effects, they give you another pill. And you keep stacking pill after pill on these. And yet, if you go to other places that offer solutions, if a guy tells you he's going to fix your car for X amount of dollars, then he's in X amount of time, then he's going to fix your car for X amount of dollars and X amount of time, or you're going to have a problem with it. In the medical industry, if they make you sicker by the process of curing you, they can explain that this is the best they can do, even though healthcare has been, by and large, or our health anyway, the health of the population of the world has been getting worse for several years or decades now. And so this is something we have to keep in mind here. So the cover of the Metro gives us, you know, little ways of incrementally adjusting our mind here. Go Canada. And somebody left a foot-long medical tool inside somebody. Isn't that funny? And they'll train the media. I basically believe that there is a thing like Operation Mockingbird going on, which was revealed by Carl Bernstein, one half of Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein, the Watergate duo, who broke the Watergate hotel scandal that brought down President Nixon in the 1970s. Very famous scandal. Actually got Nixon almost impeached, or actually got him impeached, and then President Ford later pardoned him. But the bottom line is that huge scandal back in the 70s, and one of the authors of that scandal wrote a 20,000-word article in Rolling Stone magazine breaking down Operation Mockingbird. Essentially, in the 1950s, the CIA and the people that run them were trying to figure out, how do we control information in the United States? And they found that if they could get 25 of the largest papers and have their 25 of the largest news outlets, television, newspaper, and so on, newspapers in particular at the time, and then later on television, then they could control the rest of the media, because the rest of the media would follow what papers like the Washington Post and the New York Times and so on were saying. And at the New York Times paper of record, Arthur Sulzberger gave 12 spots to the CIA in editorial and management. And to the best of people's knowledge, those spots continue today. So our media is littered with intelligence agents, just like the rest of our culture, though, of course, the ones in the media are a bit more active in massaging information to have a desired future effect on our minds, to essentially make us or help us accept big changes later. So with respect to sort of laughing at this instance of medical malpractice here, with respect to us laughing at this instance of medical malpractice here, keep in mind, they also taught us to laugh at Bush, at the name Bush, at President Bush. Now, when you say Bush or he, President Bush or whatever, people laugh, people crack up, because he became that kind of character. And that is scientific indoctrination. How? Because people out there, you might be laughing when you hear the name Bush or George Bush or President Bush or Bush is so stupid and whatever. When you hear these things over and over again, you might laugh at them. Well, essentially, they took a war criminal, a murderer, a corrupt tyrant, a guy who basically stripped 300 million people in America of the majority of their rights and, by extension, threatened the rights of everyone in the world, because the American system of protecting individual rights is the best in the world. So if you destroy that, there really isn't much else out there to appeal to that has the same teeth enshrined in a constitution, in a document that's a contract between the government and its employees and the people. You take a guy who did that, mass murderer, killing, you know, 500,000, probably a million Iraqis at this point, at least by now. It could be a mil five, maybe 2 million by now. You take a guy like that and you reduce him to a figure that's comical, and that allows him to get away with anything. And they can do this with other things in our culture. And this is happening with Obama now, too, where people simply say, you know, don't talk about Obama, or you're being mean if you talk about Obama. Yes, 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 there's wars going on, but, you know, he's doing his best, and you're just being a jerk if you try and question that. But if you look at these people, and if you look at Obama, he's not doing his best. And if you look at people that support Obama, they don't actually know what he's done for a year. So this is what I found. I'm like, okay, so you still like Obama, you still are holding out, quote unquote, hope for him. What's he been up to? And the people that do hold out hope for him don't know, whereas the people that know his agenda and the people he works for, which is basically Wall Street and the military industrial and big pharma side and other cabal complexes, industry cabal complexes. If you know that people and that circle of advisors around Obama, it's not hard to see what he would do. Just like if you saw the neocons behind Bush, it wasn't hard to see what he would do. And quite frankly, in this country, if you see the people behind Harper and Ignatieff and Layton and the groups that they have the most loyalty to, you'll see why they make the decisions they do to not talk about the most important issues facing Canadians and to go along with the sort of fake theater, the fake WWE puppet show that modern politics has become. Transit expansion resistance growing here, also on the cover of the Metro. They say they're being railroaded, and it's not just urbanites living along the Georgetown GO corridor who are complaining. Objections to the region's galloping transit expansion have spread to the typical, more passive suburbs. Resistance is popping up from Etobicoke to Scarborough, where some residents fear light rail lines along Eglinton and Sheppard will create traffic chaos with delayed left turns and less room for cars, dividing communities down the middle with dedicated streetcar rights of way. They want transit, but they want subways. Government should find a way to make development pay for them, say the members of the community group called Save Our Sheppard. Many of their concerns echo those published in a recent TDC report on the disastrous management and cost overruns on the St. Clair streetcar right-of-way. But when they talk to politicians and transit officials, group members say they have been ignored. And when you read this in the Metro, here on the cover, again, this is just the very cover of the Metro, and you read that last sentence there, that normalizes it. This is the Metro reporting that a group of people got together, formed a coalition, took their neighborhood concerns to their politicians, and they've been ignored. What does that say to other people out there who want to try doing something like this? That it's normal for you to go through all that effort and to have your politicians ignore you. Now, if they normalize that, and they have normalized that, but if they do continue to normalize that in our culture, our elected representatives will not listen to us at all. I mean, they barely listen to us now, most of them. And in the future, we will be habitually inclined to think that they don't listen to us. So these days, we talk less about what people should do and more about what people do. You know, when you talk about Obama, for example, who's a great example. I bring up Obama all the time because he is such a visible example that if you talk about him, people know enough about him that they can understand because they followed the Obama narrative, because we've all been forced to, because he got 2 years of corporate love and 1 year of give him a chance, give him a chance. He's only been president for 13 months. and so give him a chance to do something right. But okay, so on Obama, people often give him credit for being a good politician. So they say, you know what? And when people like me bring up criticisms, what about change? What about all that hope? What about galvanizing people, grassroots support, and stopping corruption and changing big government to make it work for us as opposed to being scared of it? Oh, you know, he's a good politician. Or they'll say smugly, he's a politician. Like, they'll look at me like I'm stupid. Like, he's a politician. What'd you expect? And so they're basically trying to justify the fact that he's a good liar by saying he's a good politician and he did a good job as a good politician, even if it meant fooling us. Again, the normalization of this thought process is one that will completely remove, through scientific neuro-linguistic programming means, our desire or our interest in influencing our political process and the politicians that help manage it. And that's why this is being done. They just keep repeating over and over again that there's nothing you can do. Who said you can't fight City Hall? City Hall, because they don't want to be bothered. And that's their plan. Back to the Subway article for a second. Concerns. Save Our Shepherds' Dennis Lanoux said no one would listen to his concerns about St. Clair at a TDC public consultation on the Shepherd West LRT. Quote, they just want to have input on whether it should be in-ground or above-ground for the connection with the Shepherd subway. The other issue was whether we should have an overpass or underpass for the GO train. That was the only input they were asking for. I had a feeling this thing was shoved down our throat. And that's it. And that's the cover of the Metro, and that's the story of this. So, as we get incrementally adjusted this way to thinking this way, keep in mind it's something that we do have to resist out there. This country is so brutal when it comes to mind-controlling dissent. I know I've been having conversations on people on the Hip Hop Canada message boards forever, just sharing different links and sharing my analysis, and people are determined to not believe me. It's not just there, it's everywhere in our culture. People would rather sort of look down or not talk about it. A lot of people I know live in two separate realities. That's why I've got basically two separate personalities. One that kind of works on this 24/7 and thinks this way and operates as if this reality, the one with respect to the New World Order controlling us, essentially government and corporate corruption, that we as responsible adults by and large should be concerned about and should be taking steps to mitigate and protect ourselves from, and the world where, it's not that big a deal. Yeah, things are kind of getting worse, but you know what? In 10 years, it'll be fine. Or, this recession will be over soon. You know, a friend even said the other day about India's economy, India's going to pull the whole world up. Just totally making this stuff up. And so, people that make up a more enjoyable fantasy than your reality are going to prefer that fantasy to the reality you offer them, and part of that's our fault, you know. The people out there that put out this information, we've got to go from learning to thinking. And I did a little piece on my, it's on my blog right now, shout outs to the whole world, but also to Toronto Truth Seekers and other truth groups across this country in particular. We've got to move from learning to thinking, or learning and repeating, to thinking and acting. and insane, you know, revolutionary or counter-revolutionary, depending on how you look at the people orchestrating the rapid changes in our society towards a global enslavement and depopulation through taxation, through police state measures, through mind control, and through attacks on our health, among other means. If you look at this mind control system, then what you'll see is you'll see how they're standardizing culture globally to make sure that we all know the right things to say. Then they are retarding our communications abilities, so we are less able to discuss complex issues. So number one, we feel like it less, and number two, we're less able to. And of course, if we're less able to, then naturally we'll also feel like it less. So these things do go hand in hand out there, folks. Do keep that in mind. Outside Toronto, taxpayers getting a break. It is budget day in Toronto, a time when Canada's largest city will have to stare down an operating shortfall projected to run in the hundreds of millions of dollars. Now, before we accept any more taxes out there, CKLN radio listeners and fans of this broadcast and this type of information, keep in mind that the last several hundred tax increases that the city of Toronto or province or federal government for that matter has managed were meant to pay for things. That's why they said they needed the new tax money. So if the city of Toronto has hundreds of millions of dollars in shortfalls, then who got the money? Who got the money? Who got the money? Talk. And that's something that we've got to ask a bit more often. And there's lots of these deals. Remember Ty Domi's brother, Dash Domi, was involved in a city computer purchase scandal where, you know, they paid, you know, extra for a bunch of computers, far more than they should have, so that corporate cronies who made secret deals with the city could profit excessively off the taxpayers. And that's basically what the New World Order set up government for. Government was set up to facilitate corporate looting. And if you look at the 20th century and you look at the 21st century and you see what's been happening with respect to corporate welfare, with respect to tax dollars being used to basically pay to uproot manufacturing jobs and ship them overseas, then you can see how this has been accomplished by the people that control our government, convince us to have faith in our government, and convince us to let our governments do this to us. Hundreds pin Jim Brony with sex scandal button, still on page 3 of the Metro. Sonia Popovich slept with Adam Giambrone, at least according to the red button pinned to her jacket. So they are really goofing on Adam Giambrone, and you have to ask why. A little bit of inside information here, folks. I was at a meeting with the RegenesisProject.com. I did a special show on fluoride, which is essentially a toxic industrial waste from the aluminum industry, mostly produced at scrubbers in Florida and sold through fraud to communities across North America and to some around the world, based on the myth that it's better for our teeth after being ingested. Even dentists tell you when you go to a dentist, spit it out, don't swallow that stuff. If you get a tube of toothpaste, it'll say if a child swallows more than the pea-sized amount, please call a doctor or poison control. So fluoride is a toxic substance, and yet it is added to our drinking water, and we are meant to ingest it because somehow it magically cures, prevents tooth decay. It's actually a myth. It's actually a lie. It actually causes fluorosis, and it also causes brain damage, bone cancer, lots of other health risks. Because it is, again, a toxic waste, was also used as roach and rat poison. So on and on and on about fluoride. Go to fluoridealert.org. Go see the work of Dr. Harvey Limeback, the U of T scientist who helped advocate for it many years ago, and yet who in 1999 wrote a very detailed, lengthy, and well-sourced article featuring a number of studies about fluoride, which basically is titled Why I Am Now Officially Opposed to Adding Fluoride to Drinking Water. And he spells it all out clearly. In careful scientific diplomatic speak at the beginning, saying, this may have been a mistake and we don't really know. And then towards later on in the article, just study after study of how bad fluoride is for us. So, the reason I bring this up with respect to Adam Giambroni is, I was at a meeting with Claudia and Claudia, Dorothy, and Alice from the RegenesisProject.com, basically a group that one of their efforts as environmentalists is getting rid of the fluoride in Toronto's water supply. And Claudia, the president of the Regenesis Project, mentioned at the time, this is about 2-3 weeks ago, that Adam Giambroni was interested in meeting with them on this issue. Now, I think it's a casual interest. A politician can't possibly say, no, they're not interested in your concerns. However, looking into issues like this and having an open mind to issues like this and having young people want to see him as a vehicle to handle issues like this and to run with issues like this and to support him on issues like this might have been the reason that he was taken down so exceptionally hard. When you see a liberal paper like the Toronto Star taking down a liberal, you know, young, good-looking, for-the-people candidate like Adam Giambroni exceptionally hard like that, you know, basically destroying his political career, if not destroying it, you know, delaying it for 2-3 years until he's allowed to come back into public light. Because that's how it works. If the media takes you down so hard that nobody has a chance to avoid hearing about it, then your name is out there associated with this quote-unquote sex scandal, and you're going to have to you're gonna have to wait for a while until you can try and gain the public favor again. Happened with Elliot Spitzer a couple weeks after he wrote an editorial in the Washington Post saying the Bush administration was not allowing attorney generals of all 50 states to crack down on illegal and immoral and dangerous subprime lending practices of mortgage lending institutions in the United States, which they basically saw. They were like, holy cow, these guys are giving out crazy subprime mortgages to people who shouldn't have them. They're engineering fraud. They're basically, they know that people are not going to be able to pay this back and they're going to be confiscating houses. And so Elliot Spitzer wrote about that in the Washington Post. Within 2 weeks, his takedown, Spitzergate, with Elliot Spitzer at his $5,000 Spitzer hookers, he was taken down by every newspaper in North America, every Canadian paper, The Star, The Globe, The Sun, The Post, all had him on the cover at the same time. And every other paper in North America, and if you Googled, because I did this, I Googled, you saw every media outlet in North America was carrying the story of Elliot Spitzer's indiscretions. The New York governor, Elliot Spitzer, why was he on the cover of all four newspapers in Toronto at once? How is that possible? I mean, I'm not saying they wouldn't have mentioned the story. It's sexy enough. It's a sex scandal, $5,000 hookers by the governor of New York, and getting caught for that and so on. But why was it the main cover featured story? When you see things like this happening across different media outlets, it gives you an idea of how they're controlled. So I do feel sorry for Mr. Giambroni. As mayoral candidate myself, I'm not going to campaign much on the air, but I will say that this is how dangerous it is to rely on the media to build you up, because they can also tear you down. So to anybody out there seeking political office, definitely recommend taking to the streets and going straight to the people. You know, you can obviously use the media, and if they talk to you, the media can use you because you might be an interesting candidate. But you do have to manage that relationship carefully, though I strongly recommend that people do try running for political office. In an ideal world, there would be 20 people running for every political position in the world, every elected office in the world, at all times. So as soon as you're elected, there's 20 people that want your job, because that'll help keep you honest, and it'll help ensure that there is a group of people at least keeping an eye on you. So there should be people constantly, at least casually, running for political office at all times, for all positions, in every municipality in the world, at all levels of government. But that isn't happening, you know, anytime soon, but hey, it's something to aim for. So keep in mind out there, if you are considering running for political office, there's no time like the present, because the present will determine the future. So that's on Giambroni. A bit more crime news at the bottom here. 7 men, including 6 teens, face gun charges after 2 firearms were seized minutes apart in separate routine police stops early Saturday. 3 18-year-old Toronto men, Gary Stewart, Anthony Green, and Easton Clark, have been charged with a total of 30 weapon and drug offenses. A couple of other guys, about 5 other guys, face a total of 23 charges stemming from the Entertainment District gun seizure. So a routine stop, and doesn't say what the stop was for. which means it could have been a violation of their rights. But hey, they did find a gun, and they are trying to ban guns in the city. Keep in mind, folks, that all the dictators in history, from Hitler to Mao to Joseph Stalin to Idi Amin to Pol Pot, have disarmed their people before enslaving and or killing a bunch. Everybody does this. It's happened throughout history. Today it's guns. 100 years ago it's swords. And if you are for the protection of people in poor neighborhoods, in inner city ghettos and so on, make sure the innocent ones are allowed to be armed. Because as rapper Tupac Shakur noted, a lot of people coming back from jail go to live in poor neighborhoods. And if they have trouble getting a job, which many people in poor neighborhoods often do, then they might go back to committing crime, and they will parasitically rob the other people in those poor neighborhoods unless those people have the opportunity to defend themselves. Keep in mind, cops don't stop crimes. They just show up later and try and solve them. So if something's happening at your house, you need to be able to defend yourself, and ensuring that our gun rights are protected is one way of ensuring that all of our rights are protected, because the right to self-defense is one we should not let any governments take away. Look into CanadianShootingSports.org, for example. I did an interview with Tony Bernardo a couple of years ago after the Virginia Tech shootings to break all this down. It's actually a very long and involved process with respect to getting a gun in this country. It takes about a year. And every single day here in Canada, your name is run, if you are a gun owner, against a criminal database. So if you are suspected of committing a crime or accused of committing a crime, police show up immediately to make sure they take your gun. So your name is just run through this every day, and if you happen to be a person that's accused of something, they will make sure that the weapon is taken away from you until that matter is cleared up. So lots of things like that. CanadianShootingSports.org, or Google Black Krishna and Tony Bernardo to get the interview we did from a couple of years ago on gun rights. Security concerns. Guards flank school trustees at meeting with parents. The parents of Toronto Public School Board security staff at a school closing committee meeting has some members questioning why a gathering of parents and community members needs to be policed. Why do malls need to be policed? Well, why is it when I walk through the Eaton Center in the path, there's like, you know, a dozen security guards there? I'm not knocking anybody. It's tough to get a job today. I'm not knocking any security guards. Just like I'm not knocking cops for standing at construction sites when they really have no business being there. Because if you're a car and you whack into a construction worker, a bunch of other construction workers are going to kick the crap out of you. So the poor cops don't need to be freezing standing outside to monitor construction sites when the guys with yellow signs worked fine for 100 years of industrialization in this part of the world. So absolutely insane. And yet people will say, what, they need to be there to direct traffic? Yeah, like we can't do it. Like, I can't see a guy in a yellow vest with a sign and giant construction equipment and slow down or drive around them. Absolutely insane. Missing woman had nomadic lifestyle, says police. Again, a lot of the missing children, missing women stories. This is, by the way, part of a bigger program. I'm reading a book right now by John DeCamp, who was a senator from the United States who exposed the Franklin scandal, the Franklin cover-up in Nebraska. Basically, Franklin Savings and Loan was run by a man named Larry King, a black gentleman, not the Larry King from the TV CNN, who we learned of later, whose name basically replaced the name of Larry King, but a rising star in the Republican Party who sang at the 84 and 88 national conventions. And it was running Boys Town, a youth club in Omaha, Nebraska, which also fronted for a pedophile ring, basically, of super rich people. So John DeCamp says, and this was also came out in a Washington Times article, June 29th, 1989, homosexual prostitution inquiry ensnares Bush and Reagan as they try and make that connection. But essentially, what came out is tons of victims of Satanist mind control and abuse were revealed through grand jury testimony, through congressional testimony, through a couple of trials, through radio polls of everyone in Nebraska, where people were scared out of their minds at this satanic cult operating behind the scenes. Why am I mentioning this? Because the FBI doesn't even keep stats on how many children are taken, disappear in the United States every year. As former Senator John DeCamp, and lawyer and author and so on, says, the FBI keeps stats on everything, the amount of stolen automobiles, has stolen credit cards. They keep stats on everything, but not the amount of missing children. So keep in mind their misplaced concerns. But what can we do about it today? Got to make sure we have some solutions. Well, what we found today is we found that this information is a bit heavy for people, and yet if you do think it's important enough, then do something important with it. Do an article, make a video, make a flyer, share a DVD. Show that it's worth, you know, more than just the idea of randomly arguing about your opinion to share those opinions. And for flyer templates and so on, definitely check out TorontoTrueSeekers.com. 311 members strong and growing, and going to be back in the streets this Saturday disseminating information. PressForTruth.ca, new film United We Fall coming out soon. ConspiracyCulture.com, great bookstore, Queen and Roncesvalles. TheFreedomLink.org, networking patriot and freedom-loving groups across the country. Infowars.com for your daily news as a recommendation. NaturalNews.com, tons of health news going on out there. We're all supposed to come down with cancer, as all the cancer posters and articles and shows indicate. Used to be rare, now supposedly one in two or three people are getting it. That's the new medical lingo. So NaturalNews.com for the best health information I found out there, a wide variety of sources. And TrendsResearch.com, finally, the recovery is looking worse than the recession. I think the recession is man-made and climate change is natural, folks, and you're not changing my mind on that because I've probably done more homework than you. But that's enough for me. I am out of here for February 16th, 2010. It's been your host, Black Krishna. Sorry, couldn't play anything through the computer today, so I'm just playing a CD that was here. Can't really hear myself in the headphones, but hopefully Mr. Smith has better luck with this as he gives you 4 hours of jazz with One Flight Up. It's been the 16th of February. I'm back Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday of next week. Everybody have a great day. Everybody do your part, please. And everybody, take care. Ooh, ooh, ooh.